Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. So today is Thursday, March the 13th, 2025. Ed Battagliano is in studio with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Hello there.
All right, so much to talk about, which is a good thing because this is a talk show.
Yes.
And if we didn't have issues and topics to discuss, where would we be, Ed?
Folks would get pretty bored pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the magnetism of our personality would keep people listening for a while.
You got a point.
You know, but not for an hour and a half.
But board games over radio just doesn't work. So, I mean.
Board games. How are you spelling that? B-O-R-E-D?
People play board games anymore? I thought that was left to my childhood.
They play Battleship every now and then.
Your kids do?
Yeah. Is that considered a board game?
Yeah, I would consider that.
Yeah.
It's kind of that's old school. It's 70s. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That came out. Remember electric football, Ed?
Yes.
Now you've lost me.
Yeah, electric. Yeah,
well, Ed. Describe if you would for my son Wesley.
Electric
football was all about.
It was like a sheet of tin that was painted like a football field.
Yes, it was.
And you'd line your teams up.
Uh-huh.
The thing was plugged in, you'd turn it on, and that, I guess it was tin, it would vibrate. I mean, you talk about a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sold a million.
It would vibrate, you'd put the little football in like the running back's hand.
Yeah.
And it would vibrate, and hopefully the player would go in the right direction down the field.
Right. You had no control.
You had absolutely no control, and we would play that a few minutes.
Right.
And then go outside and throw around a real football.
Right.
Because it.
So it was a lot like PlayStation 5. No,
oh,
probably
no.
Not.
No, look it up. Electric football.
I'm looking at it now.
That's probably came out in the early 70s.
Probably,
right?
I think it was the 60s because my cousins, who are older than me, I remember going over to their house and they had one of these games. And at first you think it's the coolest thing.
You wonder. Sure.
And here's how dumb it was. If you wanted to throw a pass in this game, you'd put the football into the arm of the quarterback. You'd pull the arm back and hope and let it go, and hopefully it would hit the receiver. I mean, it was pretty bad.
You want to know how funny all this is? So I looked up it, and three videos I looked for, at the moment that it gets, they show you the box, everything. At the moment it gets to show you how it plays out and what it looks like in real, like, it stops.
It stops. It's absolutely.
Because there's a reason they're not, because if they showed me what you just described, nobody's going to buy it.
No one's going to buy it.
I'll tell you what boys my age also remember.
Yeah.
More primitive than electric football, which was, you know, a whole new world, was the triangle paper football.
Oh, yeah. Now, I played that into college.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Triangle. If you had a boring class, triangle football could carry you through.
That's now, right. Fred's just looking.
Fred, do you remember? Did you have triangle paper hockey?
No.
No. Okay.
Hockey's much more sophisticated.
You'd fold a piece of paper into a triangle, and you'd tuck things in.
Right.
And then you would slap it from one side to try to get as.
Like you slap tariffs.
So it would lean over the other side of the table, and that was a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then you'd kick the extra point through the Oh, my goodness.
We had it good back then, Fred.
You get four tries.
In Bible college.
Yeah, turnover on downs.
This shows you how bored we got sometimes. In Bible college, we had a league.
Not during class, did you?
Not during class.
Okay.
No. This is when you were studying Leviticus, right?
Leviticus, hey, pull out the football.
All right.
Board games. I'm sorry. This is on me. Usually it's on you or
it.
You.
Yeah. Yep.
But so, I'll take this one.
I think you took advantage of the fact that Ed's so easily distracted.
Yes, did. Squirrel.
I'm the one that has to keep this show focused.
Yeah, you do.
Hands up,
great
blame
job.
Me. Hands up, blame me.
All right. So we got so much to talk about. Sandy Rios will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Before we jump into national news, Fred, and international news, even we have a situation where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Lee County, which is the county that Tupelo is in, that is rocking our world, isn't it? What happened yesterday?
It sure is. We are served by the natural gas company Atmos here in this area. And yesterday, some workers with Atmos were working on a gas leak, working on a pipeline gas leak, about 10, 15 miles south of the city of Tupelo. And there was an explosion. And this is what, you know, local media is talking about. There was an explosion. Two employees were seriously injured. Don't know their exact condition this morning. So be praying for those two workers. But the result is the gas service in this area has completely been shut down while they work on the repairs.
For the whole county.
Yes. So we're talking 20,000
customers,
restaurants, obviously people's houses, et cetera, et cetera. And what is happening today, crews with Atmos are having to go around and turn off the spigot, as it were, on each house and each business, et cetera, et cetera.
20,000 houses and businesses.
Yes. They're bringing in crews from other states, because this is a big job.
Yeah.
So they're shutting down the meters while the repairs are going on. And then when the repairs have been completed, and they're not giving a time range on this, but I think it's, as some are saying, days. This
oh,
is
yeah.
going to be days. When they do that, then they have to come back to all of these individual businesses and houses and turn the gas back on, but also they're going to inspect where the gas comes into your hot water heater, your furnace.
Oh, my.
They have to inspect all of those to make sure the connections are all up to grade, because I assume there's going to be this kind of burst of natural gas pressure when they turn this thing back on. And they want to make sure, you know, the pipes and the equipment can handle that. So this is going to be very labor intensive. Atmos has a kind of a step by step of what they're planning to do, and somebody has to be home. Somebody 18 years of age has to be home when they start coming around. And
they're coming around now. Because
right now they're just shutting off the meters.
Shutting off. You're talking weeks of businesses being closed, especially restaurants. Probably 90% of the restaurants in our area are affected. Now, Tupelo and Lee County, you know, you're talking 40,000 people live in the city and maybe 80,000 live in the county. For Mississippi, that's big.
Yeah.
You know, for other states, that's small. But for our state, that's a big area. A lot of people impacted. But I'm just talking about you just never know what tomorrow holds.
Right.
For any of us. I mean, that sounds cliche and trite, I guess. But I was thinking to myself, how many of these businesses have business interruption insurance?
Yeah.
For example, can a mom-and-pop restaurant afford to stay closed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Their margins are already so thin, profit margins.
Unless you have that kind of insurance, and some business we do here at AFA, that we're not affected by this in terms of our daily operations, because we're not cooking anything and we're not, you know, a hotel or anything like that. But I'm just saying, I was thinking about, what about the suppliers of, let's say, beverages? You know, let's say the Coke company or the Pepsi company, you know, well, they're delivering to restaurants all day, every day. Well, if restaurants don't have customers, Nobody buys the soft drinks. Somebody buys the soft drinks. The trucks don't run. Trucks don't run. Somebody's out of work. You see how this works?
Yeah. There's follow-on effects for all yeah. this. And the fact is, this is not like checking for water leaks. Gas, you're right. talking about the
Dangerous.
Potential of homes exploding with yes. people
yes.
in it.
Yes.
So that's why they're probably going inside to make sure the fittings
are. I'm assuming it's clearly an accident, but somebody has to take the blame or vice versa, or maybe it was. I mean, or somebody.
We don't know what happened exactly. That's what the reason for the explosion.
Yeah. And then once you find that, is somebody financially held accountable, or does it just go under a miss? I mean, ultimately.
I'm sure the companies like Atmos, they have insurance for, yes. you know, for accidents, right. for things that happen. But
right. Well, on a more serious note, is Chick-fil-A going to be open today?
I have no idea.
Up kids.
Yeah. There are a lot of people laughing right now. A lot of people are out of work right yeah. now. But Chick-fil-A, if you don't have to use gas to light your cookers, your stove.
Yeah, your electric.
Well, and for someone like me, this is a new story, and I am getting caught up to it because we don't go out to eat much, and we don't have gas at home. So while I was getting information about this last night, I was having a hard time understanding the bigger impact of yeah. what this is, because right now it hasn't affected us.
Yeah.
But to your point,
there are a lot of people
and businesses.
Yeah, 20,000 yeah. homes and businesses impacted. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. They were just telling folks what's happening with us around here. What's next, Fred?
Well, there's breaking news out of Washington at this hour. The White House has withdrawn the nomination of Dr. David Weldon. He's a former Florida congressman who President Trump had nominated to lead the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is a bit of a shock. You know, we've had some controversial nominees like RFK Jr. and some, you know, Kash Patel and others. So it was kind of a shock just about in the last hour or so when we read this. The Associated Press is reporting and a few other news agencies that the White House deemed that there was not enough support for Dr. Weldon to make it through the Senate. So that tells me they heard from a number of Republicans who said they were going to vote against. So not enough support. Dr. Weldon, this is again according to the Associated Press and a few other news agencies, has been an outspoken critic of vaccines. Was that the reason? Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an outspoken opponent of a lot of vaccines, not all. So is that the reason why? We're not sure. But anyway, the big news, and perhaps we'll talk to Sandy about this a little bit later, is that Dr. David Weldon, the White House has withdrawn his name to head the CDC. CDC, pretty important agency.
Yeah, and this is, I was actually surprised that RFK Jr. got confirmed, simply because there's a lot of controversy over vaccines. Dr. Weldon was someone who believed there was an established link between childhood vaccination, especially the number of vaccines that kids get nowadays, and autism. I think that RFK Jr. might have gotten through because he basically said, you know, his kids were all vaccinated. He just wanted there to be further research
yeah.
on it. And so maybe that's the reason. We'll have to find out. None of us right now, since this is breaking news, know what the reasons are, other than the votes just weren't there, even from Republicans, to get Weldon through.
Yeah.
Have y'all been reading about the measles spreading?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I mean, that hadn't been a thing for a long time.
There have been measles outbreaks, haven't there?
Yeah, there's one particularly major outbreak in a community in Texas
yeah.
that's been getting a lot of attention. And the mainstream media has been dealing with this because it is a group of people that don't believe in vaccines.
Okay.
And
at all?
I'm not sure at all, but that has been said about this particular community, and there's been a very high incidence there. But we're starting to see reports from Florida, from other states, California. I think there was a case this week of measles. Some people say, you know, because of all the people traveling, that...
And I've heard illegal immigration.
Yes.
That people... Now, that may be because these people were not vaccinated. I'm not a doctor, so... But I do know there are some people saying that some of these outbreaks and these pop-up diseases of this and that are because of the millions that came into this country from outside the U.S.
Not having any kind of vaccine.
Right.
Yes. So, the answer to your question, Tim, is that we're not sure.
Okay. And the reason I said it was just, I probably gave a funny look when you asked. I had the measles when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Everybody I knew had the measles. Didn't you guys?
Yes.
Older guys? Everyone seemed to get the measles. Now, maybe the kind that we got vaccinated for was a more virulent strain. But this is kind of like, for me, this discussion about vaccines is kind of like when people start talking about deep economic topics.
I kind of
like
go,
yeah, well, like you do, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of go deep on the economic issues.
I just go, I don't know.
Sounds like me in geopolitics.
We all have our strengths, don't we?
He just wanted you to use the word geopolitics.
That's it.
Well, he did it.
Smart.
Way, he did it.
Thank you.
Put it in the right place.
I got it done before Friday.
So vaccines aren't your. That's not the first thing you want to talk to somebody about when you meet.
Yeah, all these people saying, "Nah, it leads to autism," and I'm to go. Maybe it does.
I don't know.
Right. I just have to rely on somebody with more smarts than I have.
Right. Anyway, the big news is that this gentleman, what's his name?
David Weldon, Dr. David Weldon.
His nomination was pulled
sworn
almost before a hearing.
Yep.
And the thinking is he didn't have the support in the Senate to be passed, right?
That is what the
he was going to be in charge of the CDC.
That is correct.
In fact, he didn't find out until he showed up.
That's right.
Today.
It was very abrupt.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Next story.
All right. We've talked a lot about in recent weeks about President Donald Trump's targeting DEI within the federal government. Tim, you sent out a story last night from the Daily Mail, and they were able to get their hands on what they described as a top DEI activist. Now, we want to qualify this.
Get their hands on a recording.
Yes.
They didn't get their hands on him.
No.
Okay.
A recording from this DEI activist.
Yeah. And for DEI, for those who don't know, is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That is correct.
And it's basically just, I know people, most know people who are people hear that and they may say, what is that exactly? This is the idea that you promote people and hire people based on race, ethnicity, gender, transgender. In other words, those things go before qualification.
Or merit.
Or merit.
Another way of saying merit.
In the name of pushing and diversity.
Just a quick example.
Yeah.
So if you're black, you get points. But if you're black and gay, you get more points. And you move up.
Yeah.
I mean,
they want to promote, they say, diversity, inclusion. And I don't know who's against that.
Well, but they
want to promote
they exclude
it.
White people.
Yeah, they would exclude people who...
Because of white people in the majority.
Who right. might even be more qualified than a DEI
right.
candidate
so,
in the name of repairing past wrongs.
Right, right.
So
right. It's social justice.
More politically correct way of what I just said, but okay.
No. So that's what we're talking about.
Thanks for saving me.
Yes.
So this DEI, this story, go ahead with this story.
All right. And again, I want to make sure this video comes from 2014.
But it's just now surfacing.
Now surfacing. DEI became a priority for President Barack Obama. All right. The story focuses on a gentleman by the name of Sheldon Snow, who is described as a powerful figure in the National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees. Now, what you're going to hear is him talking to apparently some candidates under the DEI program. And what he is telling them is that he has taken some screenshots of some testing, and he's going to pass that along to them before they take the test. All right? So have a listen for yourself. Cut number 11.
allow me to go to work and come home, provide you with an email that will be extremely crucial in the opening stages of this hiring process. There are some valuable pieces of information that I have taken a screenshot of, and I'm going to send that to you via email. Keep in mind, we are trying to maximize your opportunities. And as you progress through the stages, refer to those images so that you will know which icons you should select. I'm about 99.99% sure that it's exactly how you need to answer each question in order to get through the first phase.
All right. So he works for the DEI segment of the FAA, or did back in 2014. And what this story is alleging is that he was helping certain candidates pass a test.
By giving them the answers.
By giving them the answers.
Yes. And so,
in advance.
Yes, in advance. So the way most people think about testing is that you've got to know the material, you take the test, and if you pass, you advance in the hiring process. What he's doing is circumventing the process so that even if you don't know the answers yourself, you can test well and advance.
Yes.
So the question obviously becomes, does that lead to getting less qualified people? And I'm assuming we're talking about people who might even be in terms of air traffic control.
There is a former member of this National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees, the NBCFAE, who is quoted in this Daily Mail story. His name is Matthew Douglas, and he gave this quote: "I know several people who cheated, and I know several people who are controlling planes as we speak." In other words, they're air traffic controllers.
Now, in that same story, what's the quote where it says we're doing this to I'm paraphrasing here, to keep others from being able to be hired? Certain group of people. There's a quote in there about that. Do you see what I'm asking?
Yes.
What's the quote there?
It's a fairly long story. I'd have to find that quote.
Okay. I'll try to find it.
Okay, good. Good.
All right. Anyway, DEI is anti-American. Now, that is not to say that that minorities in this country have not experienced discrimination historically just because of their skin color. That is absolutely true.
Right.
Or other reasons, ethnicity, perhaps. But that day is long past in America. We're now 8-10 years removed from a two-term African-American president. So
right.
Voted by the general public. So,
well, and a vice presidential candidate in 2020, who, depending on your views of the 2020 election, was elected along with Joe Biden.
Yeah, but she was a DEI hire.
Well, it's true, but I'm saying people voted for her.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she was black.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is that's not a consideration with Americans anymore, broadly and generally speaking. We want people to lead. We want people to host TV shows that we're going to watch. Oprah,
right.
Winfrey. We want to see athletes that are going to perform, and many of them are African-American. We want to see business leaders, whether they black, white, green, yellow, who succeed.
Yeah.
Americans don't care about color anymore, again, broadly and generally. Go ahead.
Now, this is from the email that we were talking about with Snow. It says this: "We are only concerned about African-American and women of every ethnic background and other minorities. Please ensure that you share this information with no one that identifies outside of that. This information is reserved for those class of people that we represent. This is to minimize competition."
That was from the actual email.
Yes.
From Sheldon, good old Shelley. Shelley Snow.
That fellow you're talking about that you're quoting right there was from 2014. He was an Obama.
Yes, DEI section,
right.
Of the FAA.
And what he was doing was he was telling people how to cheat on their test.
To minimize competition.
He was giving them answers so that they didn't have to compete with others who were not in their category. right?
Right.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed, Wesley, and Fred. So there are four of us. So you got 25%. From each of us contribution, you got 100% of a brain right there.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's why we do this. Hey, you were reading a story about the weather about to impact the majority, well, a big part of the country coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah, I was looking when we were talking about the Daily Mail story about the DEI.
Weather's going to be DEI impacted?
Well, I saw this story, the lead story on the Daily Mail. The headline says, mega storm heading for U.S. states tomorrow will unleash life-threatening flash floods and tornadoes. As you mentioned during the break, this is for some of them, some states it's going to be Saturday even through Sunday. More than 100 million people, I'm quoting now, are in the path of a gigantic and dangerous storm system set to barrel through the U.S. this weekend. Meteorologists warn that this megastorm will likely bring tornadoes, flash floods, blizzards, and even fires starting on Friday. The storms are expected to stretch as far south as Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, and as far west as Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma before driving through the center of the country towards Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
We got it. Well, yeah, you just act like you were enjoying that.
Listen, it sounds like the movie of the week.
It's Twister.
Sharknado. Okay.
Twister 3.
Yeah, Twister 3. This is that time of the year.
Go ahead.
Did it mention Louisiana and Alabama?
Yes, it did.
Did it mention Mississippi?
No, it's going to pass right over us.
I'm just amazed at weather forecast.
No, it's going to go from Louisiana up through Arkansas, sweep around to Kentucky, and then back down to Alabama.
Well.
Because God is protecting us.
Stinks to be Alabama, Louisiana, and Tennessee.
No, we're laughing here, but this is going to be it's batting down the hatches for the heartland.
Yes.
And for the Midwest and for the Deep South.
My weather app this morning when I looked, I'm an old man, so now I always look at the weather. Right. They're talking about maybe as many as 3 inches of rain on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we do laugh about it a little bit because this is the time of the year where if you live in this part of the country, you get whacked.
Tornado season.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but for farmers, they're probably getting their crops in this week because that's a lot of rain. 3 inches?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. It is a...
Optimistic. That's optimistic, mm-hmm. Wesley.
Well, yeah, it is that time of year, though, for severe weather on a regular basis.
And I complain no matter what the weather is. It's too cold in the winter.
Right.
I can't wait for the warm weather to get here. Yeah,
the warm weather is here for most of the country, and we're thankful.
The warm weather gets here, and it brings thunderstorms and
You know the best tornadoes. Part about that? You're consistent, Ed.
I am.
He's a consistent whiner.
Listen, yeah, Italians will rival Jews in terms of complaining.
Was that anti-Semitic? What
you? No.
Oh.
Nope. My uncle was
Jews can complain. I've been in the airport in New York
Russians,
many times.
Russians are big complainers. There's certain groups that are whiners.
More than others.
More than others.
But
they have their good parts, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They have their good parts, but yeah.
But Canadians don't.
You don't?
Not unless Trump slaps them with a tariff. And then they can complain loud.
That's right. That's right.
What was the fellow's name the other day?
Ford?
Well, Ford. What's his title?
He's the Premier of Ontario.
Premier of Ontario. He said he was going to cut off electricity to 4 American states, and he was going to do it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
He got talked out of it.
I thought that was unnecessary.
More reasonable minds prevailed.
Disappointing. He was going to cut off electricity to New York and Minnesota and
Michigan
and do it with a smile on their face. In Michigan, too? Yep. He didn't do it, though, did he?
No, he did not.
He backed off of that.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, you want to introduce our guest?
Our guest. Who doesn't know Sandy Rios?
Right.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
For someone who doesn't need an introduction, so she won't get one. just kidding. Sandy Rios. Sandy, good morning to you.
You guys are so funny. Hey, well, can I tell you a funny story before you ask me something substantive?
Yes, please.
You mentioned the London Daily Mail. They call it the Daily Mail. And I don't know about you guys, but I find it to be a great resource for facts. They're very far on the left. But they
are
really,
they really?
Dig. Yes.
Yeah, they're lefties.
I read them all the time. I mean, that's my... Yeah.
They do good, good journalism.
Yeah.
They do good reporting, unlike our reporters. So when I was at CPAC, I shared space with them. I mean, they were right next to me, and our tables, just people could walk between the tables. But so I was very fortunate to have some great guests. And they're watching. Every time I have a guest, they're looking and looking. And then here comes a former prime minister of Great Britain in their British paper, and she comes to interview with me. And one of the girls turns to Bruce and says, "Your wife must be famous." She did. And so when I finished, they asked if they could interview me when I finished with all of my
Well, you are famous.
I know.
You're well known. You've been in the pro-family movement for...
I know.
For several years.
I'm well known to some people, but it just did not famous. I don't think I'm famous.
That's funny.
Made me laugh, but I really had a great interaction with him. I had a chance to kind of share, faith, and it was wonderful. So that's my story.
I read the Daily Mail almost every day. Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Because to prepare for this show in the evenings, I often read the news, and it's...
Right.
It's
And you bombard us with.
Well, it
all
never
the
struck me as liberal. As maybe I've lost my discernment.
Well, to Sandy's point, they do excellent journalism, and sometimes that means you don't know what their leanings are because they're reporting facts.
And they are somewhat tabloidish. So yeah. I don't. You know, you're going to get your daily Taylor Swift update too. with the news. It's not just straight up news. You know. Hard news from the political or government scene.
Well, they'll drop in things like the disproven theory of COVID, the vaccine's doing harm.
Right.
They'll say phrases like that. But really, they if you could, if you're discerning, it's straight up reporting. And they tell you stuff that's going on that nobody else talks about.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. So, Fred, what is your first question for Sandy?
Well, Sandy, there have been a lot of candidates that President Trump has selected, I'm thinking Cash Patel, RFK Jr., and lot of people said they'll never get through, but they did get through the Senate confirmation. But this morning, there was a very abrupt announcement from the Trump White House. They were about to hold a hearing for Trump's nomination for to head the CDC, Dr. David Weldon of Florida, former congressman. And we got this word just about an hour and a half ago that President Trump had withdrawn that nomination. And what the Associated Press and Fox News is reporting is that the Trump administration believed that Dr. Weldon was not going to get the numbers needed to pass. In other words, there are apparently enough Republicans opposed to him that they thought it was useless to go through the confirmation hearing. And what we know is what's being reported, that Dr. Weldon had lots of questions about vaccines, connecting vaccines to autism, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering if you've heard anything about this, number one. But number two, it's strange that RFK Jr. makes it through, despite some of the controversial comments that he has made about vaccines. But apparently Dr. Weldon was not going to make it, according to Trump.
Well, I'm reading some things from other people this morning.
Okay.
And what I can say right now, it looks as though this is a total Chuck Schumer thing, that he interceded and used whatever leverage he has to stop this. But I can't tell you why in the world the Republicans folded or if someone opposed him. I can tell you that some things about Dave Weldon that people might not know. Tim, when your dad and I were working together in D.C., cloning and bioethics, along with Chuck Colson, were huge. I was real involved in that. And Dave Weldon, Dr. Dave Weldon, Congressman Dave Weldon from Florida, was a champion on that issue. And then later he sponsored the Weldon Amendment, which prevented organizations from that were medical. If they received federal dollars, they could not require abortion be available. So he did that.
So he's one of us.
He's one of us. He started criticizing vaccines way back, saying he thought that they were causing autism, not generally every vaccine. But, you know, I'm not being careful with my words. There was more, you know, more laser focus than I'm giving it. But, yeah, he really opposed the vaccines. He's a doctor with a conscience. He's just like RFK. But the other part that I'm reading here, and I'm just telling you what some people close to the issue are saying, is that the pharmaceutical companies have really, you know, they've just really doubled down, and they let RFK Jr. pass, but they're going to let someone like him get in here and work with him. So that's all I know now. That's all I know.
The Centers for Disease Control, I mean, they took a big hit in terms of their credibility during COVID. We all know that. What was that lady's name that was on TV all the time?
Oh, Burks.
No, not Deborah Burks. She's a scarf lady.
Yes, yeah.
Scarf
I know lady. Who you mean. I just can't think of her
name. Talking about the Indian lady. She was Indian, wasn't she, ethnicity-wise? You know what I'm
yeah,
talking about?
Yeah, I think
about?
So. Yeah, I do.
Anyway,
I do.
And anyway, I think you're right. she was basically with Dr. Fauci. They teamed up to give America the guidance on how to deal with COVID. And they took a big hit, because she would say one thing one week, and then 2 weeks later she would say something contradictory on COVID. I remember that.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people would consider contradictory advice. What I'm saying is the CDC still maintains although they lost a lot of credibility with the American public, they still do maintain a very prestigious place in American medicine.
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to say. And so whoever heads up the Center for Disease Control, why do I always want to say in Atlanta when I say that?
That's because that's the way they were.
That's where they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
where
they are.
Okay.
And CDC director was Rochelle Walensky, Tim.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, she was Polish. All right.
Polish Indian.
Yeah, yeah. Polish Indian. What's the difference?
She was a
right?
Polish Indian. Polish
Indian.
Is Indian
like Elizabeth Warren?
No, he's talking dot, not feather.
Yeah.
No. Oh boy.
That's.
Yeah.
I don't know why everyone gets upset when I say that.
I know.
It
doesn't bother me. Well, yeah.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Doesn't bother.
I want to go back to a minute. Something you said, Sandy, a few moments ago. That you read somewhere where this was a bow the knee to Schumer,
And yeah, this is insider information from people who were right there.
Okay, I am wondering. Chuck Schumer publicly is saying that he's calling on all Democrats to vote against this budget.
He did say that?
Continuing resolution. However, The Hill is reporting this morning that Schumer has told Democrats, if you really feel like Senator Fetterman, who says he's going to vote with the Republicans on this budget, if you feel you can't that you'll be blamed for a government shutdown, go ahead and vote with the Republicans. So I'm just wondering if there's been some conversation late last night or early this morning between Schumer and Senator Thune that, hey, we'll withdraw Weldon if you guys agree to vote for this continuing resolution.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Fred. I haven't seen that, but you can dollars to donuts. That's exactly right. But I think it went above Thune, actually.
Okay.
So, well, somebody needs to explain what's going on here, because Congressman Weldon deserves a
hearing.
He withdrew, right?
Right.
No.
He actually was on his way to the Capitol.
He didn't know.
He deserves more respect than that. An answer to what's going on here. And hopefully we'll get that today, even if it comes from the White House. Probably the question number one at the White House press briefing, if that's maybe that's even going on right now.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I wish they would.
let me ask you this.
Let's vote on the spending bill and then renominate Dave Weldon. That's what I'm in favor of. Yeah.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, and Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7, which is a much listened to podcast released three times a week here at our, you can get it many places, but our own AFR.net has Sandy's. You can sign up to get Sandy's podcast three times a week. And again, it's Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S 24/7. People love Sandy's podcast, and we encourage you to sign up for it. I'm going to ask you, Sandy, what Bruce, rather, your husband, as you have him on a lot to talk about as it relates to police work and the FBI and so forth and so on. The FBI director now is Kash Patel. He was confirmed. And what do you think? I had not known too much about him prior to President Trump nominating him. I had heard his name and maybe seen an interview here or there over the years, but what does Bruce think of Kash Patel? What do you think of Kash Patel? What do you think, what will be his focus at the FBI now?
Well, Tim, he's actually a real bulldog. You remember when Devin Nunes revealed the very first inklings of a collusion about Russia? He didn't really spell it out. He had been called to view some documents. I don't know how that happened. But he had just seen all of these documents that implicated at the time Obama. He didn't say this. I'm telling you, now I know this. Now we know this. That it implicated Obama and Susan Rice and all of them, that they set President Trump up. And he had read that, came out and talked about it. Well, his lead investigator was Kash Patel. And Kash then was all over the fraud there. And he wrote a book about it. I can't think of the name of the book right now, but he really is an expert on that. So I think, you know, Bruce feels good about him, and I do too. I have one caveat because I'm talking to my friends in the Christian world. Kash is not a believer in our God. He's Hindu. And I think that's perhaps at this multicultural state in our history, we can't say that shouldn't work, but I think it's at some point there's going to be a collision on the deeply different views of life and what's right and wrong. That's just a caution. But it's possible, we'll see how these things work, that if he, you know, sticks to law and order and the FBI, the stuff at hand. But I just think inevitably, in a lot of these nominations, there's going to be some problems in the future because of that. We are... our laws and our everything is based on the Judeo-Christian ethic, and there's going to be kind of a problem, I think, in the future. But you know what? I'm not criticizing him. I'm hanging on by my fingernails. I know we all
I like
are.
Every,
and
yeah,
we,
so
we
far,
want him to do well. We want him to do well.
So far, I like everything I've heard from him talking about Cash Patel. Of course, he hadn't been on the job long, but he is like old school FBI, and he's going to – first, he said – first thing he wanted to do was like purge the
hires.
Yeah,
yep.
Purge that from the all the woke policies
woke,
from the.
That's the word.
He wanted to make it a woke museum or something like that. Talking about the FBI.
Oh yeah, he said some crazy things. That's why they hated him.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think he really means it. And they have purged a lot. I don't know exactly. No, I haven't heard much news except I did just two days of podcasts with Steve Friend, who's one of the FBI whistleblowers.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of great inside information on what's going on there. So I commend that to people. So,
The books that I looked up that Cash Patel has written is The Plot Against the King and then Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy.
So we got a guy heading the FBI up who wrote a book called Government Gangsters.
Yes.
Wow, the world has changed.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that's really good, Tim, that I should point out, I guess because it's deeply baked in the cake at our house, Bruce would tell you that the mission of the FBI was changed right after 9/11, and Bob Mueller led the charge on that. And it became pretty much terrorism, where, if people don't remember, way back before that, before 2001, the FBI was law and order. They were bank robberies, kidnapping, gangs,
right.
International, cross-border things. They were not into, you know, tracking down sheikhs in the Middle East or terrorists, but they had to turn on a dime. And so Cash has said he wants to send them back to their original mission, which is crime here at home. And I did ask him the question, you know, Steve, can you quantify how much crime has taken place this last 4 years, since 9/11, that hasn't even been addressed, that hasn't been prosecuted, because the FBI's been doing this other stuff and coming after, now turning on so-called domestic terrorists like J6ers and former military who carry guns and those kind of, and
pro-lifers.
Pro-lifers, right. Yeah. And I'll let him tell you the answer if you listen. He said, he used to do child pornography. That was a big thing for the FBI, too. They took all those guys off of that and put them on prosecuting J6ers.
And a lot of that comes from, yes or no, you would know, but that turn on the dime came because of the Patriot Act, wasn't it? Where the government
after
was...
After 9/11, you mean?
After 9/11, where the government was empowered to root out terrorist threats by also looking at Americans. And
a lot of conservatives were worried about that.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes. It was wartime, and that they did get that ability. And that is, but then we had all these bad actors who turned that power on American citizens.
Right.
Now,
All right, Sandy, go ahead and tell our listeners how they can, what's your next podcast topic going to be, and how they can join you.
Well, I spent this week, did two podcasts, for instance, with a Romanian. He calls himself H.D. Hartman, but I learned now he has a Romanian name that I can't pronounce. But he is a Jewish political pundit. He actually is connected in the Elon Musk world. And a friend of mine a friend of mine connected me with H.D. We had an incredible discussion about what's going on in Romania. Romania is the country that J.D. Vance mentioned in his speech to the Munich Security Conference, that the EU, actually, they had a man who won the election, and the EU, with cooperation of people in the country and the Supreme Court there, removed him. And now they arrested him, and now they won't let him run again. So it's a crisis, and the Romanians are in crisis. And that was... So that's what's going to – he calls himself again H.D. Hartman. Can I tell you – do I have a minute to tell you a story quickly?
Sure.
This is real interesting, and this is for our audience, our AFR listeners. When I was interviewing him, of course, he's not a believer in Christ, but he is a moral – he's a serious Jewish man who believes in the scriptures and all of that. So we didn't talk about that. We talked about what's going on in Romania. But when we signed off, he had heard a podcast I did on Romania earlier, and he asked to be on through this mutual friend. So when we finished, he was so engaging. I loved it. And I know that they're in terrible trouble over there. And I just asked, I said, HD, I know you're a Jew and I'm a Christian, but can I please pray for you? This is off the air. And he said, yes. So I prayed for him. And then I asked, and then I prayed in Jesus' name. And would you believe, I did not know, the next morning he had to have serious surgery. He's very sick. And he actually communicated with our mutual friend and asked me to pray for him.
Oh, wow.
So it's just one of those things that you don't.
Amen.
It's a divine moment.
It's a divine moment. He's on my heart very much, and I would invite people to pray for him in every way. H.D. Hartman.
So we're gonna hear him on your next podcast.
Yes. The first part went up yesterday, and the second part goes up. It's actually already up. I wanted to get it up because Romania's in crisis now. So
Wesley, tell folks how they can download Sandy's podcast.
Go to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. And then you go to podcast, the podcast tab, and there you'll find
Sandy Rios' banner.
Sandy Rios' 24/7 banner. You can't miss it. And I'm sure she's going to be on other places like Apple and others, but we encourage you to go to AFR.net.
Yeah. So now for podcast.
Thank you, Wesley.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
For podcasting, you can also have it automatically delivered to your.
I do.
How do you do that?
Mine's on Apple.
I mean, I could tell people, but I think it'd be better coming from you.
On Apple, I go to notifications, and when Sandy's podcast goes up, it notifies me, or any other podcast I'm subscribed to. Hey, what was the gentleman's name we need to pray for, Sandy?
His name is his fake name is H.D. Hartman, and he does go by that. People, if you Google it, you'll see it.
I did Google it.
H.D.
pops up.
Hartman.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a great day.
My pleasure, you guys. Great to talk to you.
See
you.
Tell Bruce hello for us.
I will. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios. Sandy Rios has a very popular podcast that we offer here at American Family Radio. And she does it 3 times a week. And Sandy brings the information and interviews and analysis that you want to hear. On the news of the day. So check that out. Sandy Rios 24/7. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.